All right. Well, I hope you all are going to enjoy this study of Samson and Samuel as much as I did. I think it's a great study. It was a good one that the committee picked. It's got a lot of practical lessons. I like the fact that it's got a lot of narrative story to it as well. We've discovered a lot of times at kids' camps in different places, it's good to have things with narrative because some of us are better at understanding a narrative story than we are at like doing something like Paul's letters or something like that, where he just gives you a lot of exposition. The narrative story helps sometimes to remember the storyline, and it helps you remember what we covered at the camp. So hopefully today what we are going to do, my goal in the morning is just to refresh your memory about where we are. We are on the introduction today and Judges 13, and so that's pretty much where we'll spend our time. I created a timeline like this for this a few years ago when we were doing a study in Detroit way back on looking at the time of Samuel. And then compiled into Samson as well. It was fun for me to just figure out, you know, what happened in Samuel's life right here, which is what this line is all along here. Samson only covers this part back in here, but this is when I first encountered this idea that there was this overlapping period between Samson and Samuel, which in my life I had never really thought that was possible. I always read the judges as though they were just like one judge and another one, then later on another one, and so on. So, yeah, if you want these, I'm sure the PowerPoints will be available somewhere, or you can probably just download them. By the way, that's true of the Angels classes, too. I noticed last night a bunch of you copying notes. I'd really rather have you just pay attention and watch. I never used to like that when I was teaching school in AP Biology, where people were so concerned about writing so many notes because the class was full of detail. But it was easier just to say, here are the notes, you can have them. Now just let's pay attention and try to get it in our heads this time. So, yeah, if you want the PowerPoints on the angels, they're already on Livonia tapes. I've done that series a bunch of times. You can just download whatever version you like. And I'm sure this stuff will be available to you as well. The PowerPoints, I can give them on a thumb drive to you, or somebody in your ecclesia can pick them up and you can take them home. Anyways, this is what we came up with at the time in our Bible class when we were going through Samuel, as to how you can fit Samuel and Samson together and what's actually happening. And I will spend more time on that in the wrap-up session at the end today. I'll explain to you like why it's laid out that way. But for right now, I just will refer to this every day to show you where we're actually at in the timeline. So this timeline starts back here with the birth of Samson and Samuel back at the beginning here. And this is where we're going to be today, where Samson is born. And you're really just at this period right in here where Samson, where the angel has appeared. Actually, it starts a little bit before that because it's actually when Samson is conceived. So, yeah, there's the technical list here. We're 1 year before that. 9 months if you want to be more cut. So that's about where we are right now for today. When you go back and look at what should have happened in the land, when God divided the land up and had Joshua split up the land and to go search out your inheritance, so he's talking about in the exhortation, what they were supposed to have done after all the major cities, all the fortified cities had been destroyed, all the big giants were gone, all they had to do was the mop-up operations of go in and take your land, and this is what should have happened. Dan should have taken all of this land right over here, all the way to the coastline. Judah should have gone all the way across right here. But instead, what happened is that they failed to take their inheritance. They did not drive out the Canaanites, the Philistines, and all these different groups. They did not drive them out. And instead, what you end up with after a few years is that the land sort of looks like this, where you have like scattered sections of where the tribes actually took pieces of their inheritance. And the tribe of Dan, which was supposed to gather all this spot in here, they hardly took any of their land at all. And so what you're discovering about the Danites is what they did instead is after a few years of realizing that they were too scared to go conquer the chariots, the iron chariots that were there, and go up against the battles individually when the whole rest of the community wasn't helping them, what they did is they took the easy way out, sent spies up through the land up in here, and they went further north, until they finally came across a people up in here that were unsuspecting. They weren't defensive people. They didn't fight wars. And the Danites came back and said, hey, we found this group of people up here. We can easily just wipe them out. Let's go up there and take their land instead. And this is what Samson was dealing with in his family tribe. Now, they had gone up north. A lot of them had moved up to the north at this point. They were gone. And they had taken the easy way out. Samson's parents are still down here. They're still down in the area of where they were supposed to be and still waiting for the day when somebody would come up and help them take their land. But like I mentioned yesterday, this is what happens in ecclesial life is that everybody's sitting there waiting. We sit in our chairs and we wait. And we're waiting for somebody to take the initiative to get something going. And that's what you can go home and do next week. You can take that initiative. And people will help you out. They'll support you and help you do things. And God will bless your efforts. But everybody's waiting there for somebody else to be the leader. This is so typical of life today. So what we want to look for this morning then, when you're going through these classes and you're doing your discussion groups, is make sure you focus on the lessons that are there. We can get all hung up in the facts and all that new knowledge and, you know, all these different things that you can get off into. But I'm going to say that over and over again this week. I have watched too many young people go through periods of life where they got all interested in the Bible. They got real excited. They showed up to all the youth conferences. They came to the Bible schools. They went to the Bible school, and they'd follow around the main speaker, and they'd get all this data, all this interesting information. And they're like, oh, up here, only to find out after a few years they just dropped. And some of them have wandered away from the truth because it never meant anything in their life. It was just a bunch of interesting facts and figures and cool new information to learn, and it didn't change their life. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to go through that high cycle and just fall off at that point. What we want to do is just take those lessons, change our lives, and slowly grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's really our goal for a much more successful spiritual life. So it's good to look at the Danites up in here as to why they failed to take their inheritance. I think that will probably come up at some point, and how they chose to solve their problem. Some of you are wondering, like, why the Philistines are around and all this. Somebody asked that question yesterday about how come there's so much about the Philistines. It's all this stuff about the Philistines. And there was some background information in your workbook about the Philistines, where they came from, and all the troubles that they had caused as well. But the Philistines, they're not the only problem for Israel. As you're going through the period of the judges and then into the kings, do you remember, like, Jephthah, he wasn't dealing with Philistines. He's dealing with the Amorites, the group of people that Moses had originally conquered when they came up across the eastern side. So there were other groups of peoples besides Philistines. You remember Gideon. Gideon fought the Midianites. But the Philistines are the ones that are the major focus of this section because they were dominating the community at this time. And Samson's mom was told that your son is going to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. They were the ones causing the problem at this time. So you can look at God's miraculous intervention of Samson being born and how the angels were involved in that. I think that's fun to look at. And some of the lessons that have come out about the responsibility that was there for Samson's mom. The Nazarite vow, I think that's a good one to look at, what it was supposed to mean. Why was there a Nazarite vow? Why do we even have one? No, it's back in Numbers chapter 6, but why did God even allow for a Nazarite vow? What was the whole point? And how does God view vows? Are vows something that we can just, you know, say at a moment we're on a spiritual high here at camp and we make a vow to God, and then we go home next week and find out that, well, I didn't really mean that. You don't really want to keep that. God views vows as serious issues. You make a vow to God, he expects faithfulness. God is faithful. That's one of his top characteristics, is faithfulness. And he's giving you the opportunity to practice this in your life now, being faithful in what you do. When you get baptized, he's expecting us to be faithful to our covenant we make with him. When you get married and the two become one, he's expecting you to practice faithfulness in a marriage. This is when he finds out how much we really care about manifesting his characteristics. And he lets us practice these things in this life. So the Nazarite vow was a very critical thing. When you took it on, it was serious. You had to go through and fulfill your vow. Samson's faithful parents, I think you can look at them and maybe discuss some of the things about how they dealt with Samson, having Samson, this child. Especially you're going to see his mom and the contrast that I know you'll run into when he gets to that marriage issue later on where dad shows up and mom doesn't. That's always an interesting one. That's for tomorrow probably. The interaction between the angel and Samson's parents, I think that's fun to look at, is how angels deal with them. You know, here they are, these powerful beings that show up with all this authority. And look at how kind and compassionate they are when they're working with Manoah and his wife. And I think it's good to look at how some of these people were moved by faith at this point, even though the nation was at a spiritual low. And I think that's one of the critical lessons you all want to take home next week, is that don't go back to a family who you use as an excuse and say, well, my family's not really with me. My brothers and sisters have left the truth. My mom and dad don't really care. Or you go home and say, well, my ecclesia is not really involved. They're not really very energetic. There are no excuses with God. You have God on your side. And these people didn't throw out those excuses, even though the community was like those stories at the end of Judges. Instead, there were people like Boaz and his family and his little group. There were people who faithfully followed the ways of God. And they put those things into practice, and they were Nazarites walking around the community for everyone else to see. Those people put these things into practice, and that's what we want to do as well. So hopefully have fun with this morning, and we'll deal with the timeline. Don't worry so much about the timeline. I'll show you some of the things about the timeline in the wrap-up session at the end, but I don't want you getting bogged down in the timeline in the discussion classes. Leave that for later, and spend your time on the profitable things about the lessons you can take home and implement. Well, have fun.